From KXCI in Tucson, you are listening to the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. Our mission is to connect with our community during this time of social distancing. This year, on the Captain's Log, you'll hear voices from our community near and far about how they're doing, music that resonates, tributes to those living and gone, and more, all with our standard spacey music, Star Trekery, and a dose of hope. If you would like to be a guest on a future show, email me at amya@kxci.org. And of course, you can always listen to all past programs by going to kxci.org. Captain's Log, Stardate, February 7th, 2021. First Officer Amy A. A very productive week here at the Captain's Log headquarters. I had several more check-in conversations with past loggers, which will air in the coming weeks. And we have big news. For a long time, I've been working to find a way to make it easier for someone to submit a Captain's Log to the show if they don't have a way to record themselves. This supports our mission to connect with you, and really, honestly, we do want to know how you're doing, as these are strange times. This week, we finally made that happen. Listeners can now call 520-222-8652 and leave their log as a voicemail. I'll explain more at the end of the show. It's so exciting. For the show today, we'll start with a log from a listener who I've been emailing with this past week and who is brave enough to call in her captain's log on our new number.
Captain's Log, Stardate 2021.2. Mission accomplished. Our rain dances and prayers have been answered. The desert and its dwellers are celebrating. After many months of drought, isolation, restlessness, and boredom, have finally relaxed into a state of acceptance and peace. Feeling exceptionally inspired by Amanda's most amazing inauguration poem. We all really want the same thing, yet we already are that. Creation is divine. We are all creation. Want nothing, be everything. Just a reminder to be you, loving and accepting yourself exactly as you are in this moment. Take a pause and breathe that in. Loving and accepting yourself exactly as you are in this moment. Now feel that you have been given permission to be your true self. Embrace the moment. There is so much to be thankful for. Music, mountains, each other, the sun, the earth, art, beauty, life, love. It's what we are. Just be you. That's all.
Mr. President, Dr. Biden, Madam Vice President, Mr. Emhoff, Americans, and the world. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always just is. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We, the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother can dream of becoming president only to find herself reciting for one. And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gaze not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true. That even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together, victorious. Not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it. Would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption. We feared it at its inception. We did not feel prepared to be the heirs of such a terrifying hour, but within it we found the power to author a new chapter, to offer hope and laughter to ourselves. So, while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised but whole, benevolent but bold, fierce and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from my bronze-pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the West. We will rise from the wind-swept Northeast where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the Midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked South. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
You are listening to the Captain's Log Project on KXCI Tucson. I'm Amy A. You just heard Amanda Gorman's inauguration poem as recited on January 20th, 2021. And before that was a log from the inaugural call on our new Captain's Log voicemail, in which the logger references being inspired by Amanda Gorman's poem. I too was inspired, as were many of you, I'm sure. I had not heard of Amanda Gorman prior to that, and I wanted to know more. What type of person can create such beauty, truth, and all with grace and composure at such a young age? The more I found out, the more I fell in love. Here are some excerpts of an interview she did the night of the inauguration on national TV.
To me, words matter, and I think that's kind of what made this inauguration that much more sentimental and special. We've seen over the past few years the ways in which the power of words has been violated and misappropriated. And what I wanted to do is to kind of reclaim poetry as that site in which we can re-purify, re-sanctify not only the Capitol building, which we saw violated, but the power of words, and to invest that in kind of the highest office of the land. You know, growing up, I had a speech impediment, and for me, it wasn't stutter. It was, you know, dropping a whole swath of letters in the alphabet. So for, I want to say, most of my life, up until 2 or maybe 3 years ago, I couldn't say the letter R. Even to this day, sometimes I struggle with it, which is difficult when you have a poem in which you say rise like 5 times. And so for me, I used writing, one, as a form of self-expression to get my voice on the page, but then it also metamorphosized into its own speech pathology. So the more that I recited out loud, the more in which I practiced spoken word in that tradition, the more I was able to teach myself how to pronounce these letters, which for so long had been my greatest impediment. It was as recent as college that I was still struggling to say the R sound. And so one thing that I would do to try to train myself to say it is I would listen to the song Aaron Burr, Sir, which is just packed with R's. And I would try to keep up with Leslie Odom Jr. as he's, you know, doing this amazing rap. And I'd say, if I can train myself to do this song, then I can train myself to say this letter. And so that's been a huge part of my own speech pathology. It's why I included it in the inaugural poem. Also beyond that, I think Hamilton is just such a great kind of American cultural piece of what it means to be a better country. It was really hard for me not just to like copy and paste my shot and email it to me, like, here's my poem.
Pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir?
That depends. Who's asking?
Oh, well, sure. Sir, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir, I heard your name at Princeton. I was seeking an accelerated course of study. When I got sort of out of sorts with a buddy of yours, I may have punched him. It's a blur, sir. He handles the financials.
You punched the bursar.
Yes, I wanted to do what you did, graduate in two and join the revolution. He looked at me like I was stupid. I'm not stupid. So how'd you do it? How'd you graduate so fast?
It was my parents' dying wish before they passed.
You're an orphan. Of course, I'm an orphan. God, I wish there was a war, then we could prove that we're worth more than anyone bargained for.
Can I buy you a drink?
That would be nice.
While we're talking, let me offer you some free advice. Talk less.
What?
Smile more.
Huh.
Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for.
You can't be serious.
You wanna get ahead?
Yes.
Fools who run their mouths off wind up dead.
Yo, what time is it? Showtime!
Like I said.
Showtime, yo! I'm John Lawrence in the place to be. A 2 pints of Sam Adams. Working on three, huh? Those red coats don't want it with me, cause I will pop, chicka plop these cops till I'm free.
Hey, oui, mon ami, je m'appelle Lafayette, the Lancelot of the revolutionary set. I came from afar just to say bonsoir to the king, cause it's toi who is the best, c'est moi.
Brah, brah, I am Hercules Mulligan, up in it, loving it. Yes, I heard your mother said, come again. Lock up your daughters and horses. Of course, it's hard to have intercourse over four sets of corsets.
Wow.
No more sex, pour me another brew, son. Let's raise a couple more to the revolution. Well, if it ain't the prodigy of Princeton College.
Aaron Burr.
Give us a verse, drop some knowledge.
Good luck with that, you're taking a stand. You spit, I'ma sit, we'll see where we land.
Oh. The revolution's imminent, what do you stall for?
If you stand for nothing, Burr, what'll you fall for?
I have two questions for you. One, whose shoulders do you stand on? And two, what do you stand for? These are two questions that I always begin my poetry workshop with students, because at times poetry can seem like this dead art form for like old white men who just seem like they were born to be old, like, you know, Benjamin Button or something. And I ask my students these two questions, and then I share how I answer them, which is in these three sentences that go, I am the daughter of black writers who are descended from freedom fighters who broke their chains and changed the world. They call me. And these are words I repeat in a mantra before every single poetry performance. In fact, I was like doing it in the corner over there while I was like making faces. And so I repeat them to myself as a way to gather myself, because I'm not sure if you know, but public speaking is pretty terrifying. I know I'm on stage and I have my heels and I look all glam, but I'm horrified. And the way in which I kind of strengthen myself is by having this mantra. Most of my life, I was particularly terrified of speaking up because I had a speech impediment, which made it difficult to pronounce certain letters, sounds, and I felt like I was fine writing on the page, but once I got on stage, I was worried my words might jumble and stumble. What was the point in trying not to mumble these thoughts in my head if everything's already been said before? But finally, I had a moment of realization where I thought, if I choose not to speak out of fear, then there's no one that my silence is standing for. And so I came to realize that I cannot stand standing to the side, standing silent. I must find the strength to speak up. And one of the ways I do that is through this mantra where I call back to what I call honorary ancestors. These are people who might not be related to you by blood or by birth, but who are more than worth saying their names because you stand on their shoulders all the same. And it's only from the height of these shoulders that we might have the sight to see the mighty power of poetry, the power of language made accessible, expressible. Poetry is interesting because not everyone is going to become a great poet. But anyone can be, and anyone can enjoy poetry. And it's this openness, this accessibility of poetry that makes it the language of people. Poetry has never been the language of barriers. It's always been the language of bridges. And it's this connection making that makes poetry, yes, powerful, but also makes it political. One of the things that irritates me to no end is when I get that phone call, and it's usually from a white man, and he's like, man, Amanda, we love your poetry. We'd love to get you to write a poem about this subject, but don't make it political. Which to me sounds like I have to draw a square, but not make it a rectangle, or like build a car, and not make it a vehicle. It doesn't make much sense because all art is political. The decision to create, the artistic choice to have a voice, the choice to be heard, is the most political act of all. And by political, I mean poetry is political in at least three ways. One, what stories we tell, when we're telling them, how we're telling them, if we're telling them, why we're telling them, says so much about the political beliefs we have about what types of stories matter. Secondly, who gets to have those stories told? I'm talking who is legally allowed to read, who has the resources to be able to write, who are we reading in our classrooms, says a lot about the political and educational systems that all these stories and storytellers exist in. Lastly, poetry is political because it's preoccupied with people. If you look in history, notice that tyrants often go after the poets and the creatives first. They burn books. They try to get rid of poetry and the language arts because they're terrified of them. Poets have this phenomenal potential to connect the beliefs of the private individual with the cause of change of the public, the population, the polity, the political movement. And when you leave here, I really want you to try to hear the ways in which poetry is actually at the center on our most political questions about what it means to be a democracy.
From KXCI in Tucson, you've been listening to the Captain's Log Project. You just heard a portion of poet Amanda Gorman's TED Talk, Mr. Burr, Sir, from Hamilton before that, which was referenced by Amanda Gorman in her television interview the evening of the inauguration, where she recited her poem, The Hill We Climb, to inspire a nation and a world and one listener who was brave enough to be our first caller on the new Captain's Log voicemail to share about it. We want to hear your voice and your perspective on life during COVID-19. Now it's easier than ever to submit your Captain's Log for our show. You can simply call 520-222-8652 and leave your Captain's Log as a voicemail for us. That's 520-222-8652. Before you do, please visit kxci.org/programs and click on the Captain's Log Project for further instructions, or email me at amy@kxci.org. I'm your host, Amy A., signing off for tonight, feeling particularly inspired by 22-year-old poet Amanda Gorman, and looking forward to learning about more young poets who are creating truth and beauty. Stay safe out there. I'll see you next week.
Live long and prosper.